Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning, church. God bless you. What a wonderful place to be in the presence of God. Thank you, worship team. You certainly attracted the presence of God to this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Daniel and the leadership, for making this possible for me to be with you this morning. To God all the glory. In 1977, it was February. At that time, I was a lost man. I was a communist, I was a gang leader, I used to do a lot of wrestling, and I remember one afternoon I was walking down the street with a new friend. I was trying to convince him to become a communist. One of my old gang members came to me and said, "You know that little evangelical church, which was the only church in town, they were having special meetings behind closed doors." Boy, I don't know what came over me, but that triggered the troublesome in me, and I've decided to go there, and if they don't let me in, to break in, have a fight with them, and see if their Jesus can help them. Knock the door. No answer. Then I kicked the door and broke it open. And I went in with my friend and we start shouting at them, looking for a fight. Everything went silent. And after a while, one of them offered me his seat. I was ashamed of myself. As I sat down and the speaker resumed his talk, he was explaining. He was training a handful of believers, about 30, how to share the love of Christ with other sinners. And he was at the point explaining the sinner's prayer. And as I started listening, I couldn't believe it. Few words to the so-called Jesus and he can change your life and give you abundant life. I said, this cannot be true. Is it magic? While I was arguing in myself, I could hear a soft voice within me. What if it is true? I said, boy, I am lost. And I remember speaking to Jesus. I said, Jesus, if you really exist, and if you really can do what this young man is saying, help me out. I'm desperate. I've tried to commit suicide 3 times. My life is so empty. I never said amen. But I remember that like a cloud came all over me from the top of my head going throughout my body to the point I couldn't feel the weight of my body anymore. The peace and the joy I could not keep to myself. I remember at the end of the service, I couldn't even walk. I was running the street back home, and my sister-in-law met me, and she was shocked because I never come home early. I come home early in the morning, usually. And she said, what are you doing here? I said, Turkey, be quiet. Do you have a Bible? She said, a Bible? You need a Bible? I said, yes, if you have one, I need it. She said, your crazy brother, when he was in training in Scotland, they gave him a Bible. Here, take it. Anyway, we don't need it. And I start reading the Bible about 8 hours a day. In 2 months, I finished it from cover to cover. And I said, boy, this is so good. I cannot keep it to myself. So I start going out in the streets and start sharing it with all the rough people, all the street kids, you know. And I said, this cannot just carry on like this. We need to find a place. You see, then I was just a new believer, and my background still affected me. I managed to steal the key to the church. And whenever the church, they don't have a meeting in the evening, I would just bring in all these street kids and I would preach to them. And guess what? Many got saved. Actually, now many of them are ministers throughout the whole Middle East. And one night, praise God, glory to His name. One night, my pastor was passing by the church and he saw the lights on and he said, "We don't have any scheduled meeting. Let me find out what's going on." And he sat and I was preaching. And you know, I always act like him. So I stand by the door gate when the meeting is over to say goodbye to people after I pray with them. The last guy I shook his hand was my pastor. And I said, "Boy, I'm in trouble. I never asked permission for taking the key and using the church." But he was wise enough to say, "Son, that was a good sermon. I could use you sometimes in Sunday morning." And that was my journey with the Lord. The Lord took me to many places, took me to England for training, but God was surprising me along the way. So my prayer this morning for you, that you will experience His divine surprises on daily basis in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, and I came back in 1983 or 84, I'm not sure, and I started pastoring a church, was closed down. Then the Lord started giving me very sharp young men and women, and I start training them for ministry. And to the point that I stepped down and I made one of my disciples the senior pastor of my first church. And I planted a number of churches all over the city. In 1998, the Lord starts speaking to me from a scripture I will share from this morning, from Isaiah 19, about the highway Egypt, Assyria, Israel, worshiping together a blessing on the earth. And the Lord used me to establish what we call it After Arabs for the Arabs. It's the first indigenous mission in the Middle East in the modern days. We focus on two things: bringing Arabs and Jews to be reconciled in the Messiah and to stand for God's purposes. So we bring people from Egypt, Assyria, Israel, and we teach them about the redemptive purpose of Israel, the redemptive purpose of the Arab nation, the physical children of Father Abraham. And we always end up with communion. Next February will be our 25th anniversary of such a gathering. The second thing, I train people, church planters, we send them throughout Middle East and North Africa. And right now we have 113 full-time missionaries working in 14 Arab countries. They have planted more than 500 underground house churches. And when I say underground, it is underground because of security. It is like mainland China, especially in the old days. Now they have a little bit of freedom. Because once you are a Muslim, once you are not a Christian, you cannot convert. It's illegal. And for other reasons, for effective teaching. So now, when we talk about a church, we are talking about could be 10 people, could be as many as 80 people, but the average would be about 30 people. I invite you to keep praying for us. I'm so thankful for all of you and for Sister Constance and Pastor Mark bringing teams to pray for Jordan and Israel. Keep up doing the good work. You are a blessed nation beyond your borders. And I pray that God will make you a channel of blessings to everybody you meet with. Let me this morning ask you to turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of Isaiah chapter 19. And I would like to bring your attention to verse 23. Isaiah 19, 23 to 25. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day Israel will be the third along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, Israel, my inheritance." Wow, what a redemptive purpose. It says there will be a day when these three people groups worship the living God together. And as a result of their worship, the whole earth will be blessed. Wow, what a calling. Who are these three people groups? We know where is Egypt. We know where is Israel. Israel is my neighbor. But where is Assyria? Many people, they confused Assyria with the modern day Syria. The modern day Syria was part of Assyria. 3,000 years ago, Assyria was the largest empire on the whole earth, extended from Persia, Turkey, all the Gulf, all the Middle East, up to North Africa, down to South Sudan. And there were times when Assyria would include Egypt and Israel, because they were powerful kings and emperors, would have taken over Egypt for some times and Israel. The scripture tells us in that day. Let me tell you, in 6 years ago, we were seeking the Lord as a school of young prophets. We call it the Sons of Issachar. The children of Issachar, they would know God's season, God's timing. They had access to God's agenda for their nation. And God gave them wisdom and insight what Israel has to do when he would reveal things for them. And the Lord starts speaking to us about what is called now the Arab Spring. He said, "I'm going to come in 3 years and shake the whole Arab world. And I will change the face of the Arab world." Then he said, "In another 3 years, I'm going to bring a revival that will change spiritually the face of the Middle East. And millions of Arabs, they will come to Jesus." In the beginning, it was too good to believe. We thought, no, maybe we misunderstood God. And God said, "Because you don't believe, I'm going to give you in the coming few weeks some signs." And one of these signs was that there will be a flood in Saudi Arabia. And it was summer, not the rainy season. Saudi Arabia hardly gets any rain when it is winter. But the Lord said, "In a week time, I'm going to bring rain and flood Saudi Arabia, and it will be a phenomena that never happened in history." A week later, there were flood. It was pouring rain. They didn't have the sewage system, nothing. And homes were flooded, cars were turned over, people were killed. And then he gave us the next sign. He talked about it. He said there will be a fire in Israel, and a fire broke in Mount Carmel for the first time in the modern day history of Israel, and people were burned, and there were mudslides in Egypt, and people were killed. It was unusual during this season. We said, yes, Lord, what do you want us to do? He said, prepare my Gideon army. This is what is happening. And when we went back to Isaiah 19, we discover already God, more than almost 1,000 years before Christ, he prophesied of what is going to happen. And now we see all the shaking and taking place in Egypt. We see the fulfillment of verse 1 and 2 and 3. And then even it talks about the Nile will dry up. And now we hear it in the news that they are building dams in Ethiopia and in many places on the source of the Nile. Actually, the water of the Nile is 2 billion cubic meter less than usual. And you know, if the Nile will dry up, Egypt will be in trouble because they don't get rain, and that's the only river they have. It's like stopping breathing. And God spoke about all the hardship Egypt will go through, and now we see the first fruit of it. But the Lord said, the day will come when I will heal Egypt. The day will come when there will be in Egypt, in the center of Egypt, an altar for me. 5 cities will speak the language of Canaan. And then the Lord said, the day will come when I will be known in Egypt, and the Egyptians will acknowledge me, and they will worship me. In that day, Egypt, Assyria, Israel, will worship together a blessing on the earth. What does that mean? That means a universal revival will cover the earth. What does that mean? That means as a result of their worship, the earth will be full of the glory of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. That means the redemptive purpose of these 3 people groups has to do with every nation around the world. Has to do with your nation. The destiny of the whole earth is connected with the destiny of these 3 people groups. But if we look at the Middle East, and now we know the region it's talking about is the Middle East, North Africa, and some parts of Turkey and Iran. Do we see any blessing coming out from that region? Actually, we see the opposite. We see the moon god is taking over rather than Yahweh. Actually, we see bloodshed and troubles and shakings. Actually, we see terrorists coming out of the Middle East rather than missionaries. It's confusing, and I start asking the Lord, Lord, I believe your word. Help me to understand. What I see is totally the opposite of what your word has been prophesying almost 1,000 years before Christ. And the Lord start opening my mind to understand. And the Lord reminded me that Satan wasn't always Satan. He was a good archangel. Actually, from scripture, we understand that he was in charge of worship. So he was the senior worship pastor in the presence of God. And you know, when we worship God, we draw so intimate, so close to God. We enter his courts because God inhabits the praises of his people. So that archangel was so intimate with God. He knew God's mind. He knew God's strategy for blessing the earth has to do with Egypt, Assyria, Israel. You and I, we know sadly that that archangel did not keep his good position with God. He became so jealous and he fell into sin. And he was cast out from the presence of God. And he became Satan, the accuser of God and the brethren. He became the angel of darkness. And he starts sorting to build his kingdom of darkness at the expense of the kingdom of light. And he knew when he was in the presence of God that the redemptive purpose of this region, Egypt, Assyria, Israel, not only that they will worship God, they will become a blessing to the whole earth, so the whole earth will worship God. So he knew if he wanted to block God's purposes, he had to focus on that region. That is why the Middle East is a hot spot since Father Abraham. Because the enemy doesn't want the earth to be blessed. The enemy doesn't want the kingdom of God to come its fullness to the earth, because that's the end of the enemy. And the enemy has a dreadful end, and he knows what will take place, what will happen to him, and he doesn't like it. And he knows to stop that, he had to stop the kingdom of God from coming to the whole earth. And to do so, he had to focus on this region, Egypt, Assyria, Israel. Not only this, the Lord started reminding me and opening my mind, and he took me back to Father Abraham, who was called out of Assyria, out of Iraq, out of Ur. And by the way, in that ancient city now, we have a house church among the majority people, praise God. God called him and said to him, I want you to come to the land I choose for you. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And I will make you blessing to all the peoples of the earth. You see, no doubt that the region of Egypt, Assyria, Israel has the same redemptive purpose Father Abraham has. Because if you look at this region now, you will find at least 85% of the inhabitants of this region are the physical children of Father Abraham. But you know, Father Abraham and Sarah had no children for years and years. And they grew old. But God promised that through Sarah, he will give them not only a child, he will give them a huge nation. He will give them numerous children, as numerous as the stars of the sky, as the sand of the sea. But one day, Sarah thought there is no hope for her. She didn't believe anymore the promise of God. And she thought, boy, I have a replacement plan. And she decided, we are going to have children. She said to Father Abraham, Abraham, you see, no way naturally for me and for you to have children. Why don't you just marry my maid, my servant Hagar? And the child she would bear will become our child. It didn't take Abraham long, because Hagar was Egyptian, and Egyptian ladies very beautiful. And he couldn't just wait, and he married her. And they had a boy called, and they called him Ishmael. God hears us. And the boy started growing in the camp. He was spoiled. He was the only boy of Abraham. He had two mothers, his adopted mother, his natural mother, to spoil him. He was the sunshine of the whole camp. And he was the focus. And he became a teenager. Even he was circumcised with Father Abraham. But the appointed time for God to give Ishmael, to give Sarah a child came. And the Lord came and visited Abraham, and he said to Abraham through his angels, next year, like this time, like this season, Sarah will have a child, I promised. Was Abraham excited? No. Actually, Abraham said, God, there is no need. We have a son. May Ishmael live, God. God, we are happy with Ishmael. We don't need more children. We are elderly people and Ishmael is good enough. The Lord said, it's not for you how you decide I fulfill my promise. I promise through Sarah, and through Sarah it shall be. Sarah laughed. She was listening. I don't know if she laughed out of joy, but probably out of thinking that would be a scene, an old lady being pregnant. Probably disbelief. That is why when the boy was born, they called him Laughter, Isaac. And the boy was born, and you know, in the old days, the ladies, they breastfeed their children, and when there's time for the children, sometimes a year, 2 years, 3 years, you know, and there will be a time when the baby is not a baby anymore, doesn't need his mother's milk, they will throw a big, big party and celebration. He is a boy, not a baby anymore. And they were throwing this party and everybody celebrating. And Sarah looks and see Ishmael mocking and teasing his younger brother Isaac. He's a teenager. And this is just probably 2 years, 3 years old. And she doesn't like what she sees. And she decided the slave son, child, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, will not inherit and share inheritance with my son. So she started talking to Abraham. Abraham, being a righteous man, he was really distressed and he wasn't happy with that. And he said, come on, Sarah, don't be so stupid. He is our son too. No, maybe he's your son, but certainly he's not the promised one. He is not my son. He and his mother shall not stay one day longer in camp. And that night, the Lord start talking to Abraham and say, whatever Sarah is asking you, you do it. By the way, this is my wife's favorite verse in the whole scripture. But being a smart Arab, I tell her, woman, I need God to tell me that, not you. So there is a way out, men, okay? And he sent them away. Wait a minute. A teenager. What did he do? What was the mistake, the fault? Nothing. Because teenagers, they mock their younger brothers and sister. It happened to you, and maybe you did that to your younger brother and sister. That's normal. That's what brothers and sisters are for. Picking on each other. A teenager being rejected by his own dad. A teenager has been sent out to the wilderness. A teenager who has lost everything, the security, Father Abraham, everything, and now he is even not finding drink or food in the wilderness. Why? Because a younger brother was born. How much do you think Ishmael loves Isaac? I always tell them, he loves him to the point he cannot wait till he see him. He will throw his hands around his neck and strangle him. You know the damage rejection would do to the heart of a teenager? all the inner healing programs in our churches will not be sufficient to bring healing. And you know, Satan found a fertile soil. He could plant more enmity, hatred. And we know Ishmael is one of the forefathers of the Arab nations of Assyria. You see, the hatred between the Arab and the Jews has nothing to do with the land. The land is only the outlook, appearance. It has to do with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The enemy knew that if he could keep Ishmael and the descendant of Ishmael away from Isaac, he could block God's kingdom from coming to this earth. Isaac got married. And when his wife became pregnant, they were twins. And before they were born, they were having a wrestling match in the womb of their mother. Even Satan did not wait for them to be born to start planting enmity. He started planting it when they were in the womb. Esau and Jacob were born. Esau, one of the forefathers of the Arabs, the Assyrians. And Jacob became later Israel, the father of Israel, the nation, the 12 tribes. Do you understand? I want you to understand this dynamics that's going on. The family conflict that has been going on since Father Abraham. And is still going on the family of Father Abraham. No wonder they cannot find solution through the United Nations or the USA. Because this struggle is a spiritual struggle. It's the struggle between the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of the enemy, kingdom of darkness. And the only solution for it is Jesus Christ himself. But the enemy hates his end, and he wants to block the kingdom of God coming so he will not face the consequences of his rebellion against God. That is why we see the Middle East a pool of blood, problems, terrorists, anywhere. Any explosion might go off anywhere in the world. You could trace it back to the Middle Eastern connection. The enemy wants to block God's kingdom. Why I'm sharing this with you? It has nothing to do just with the Arabs and the Jews, with Egypt, Assyria, Israel. It has to do with the whole destiny of the whole earth and the destiny of your nation. Because as soon as they start worshiping together, they will become a blessing to the whole earth. This is God's strategy. Of blessing the earth, all the peoples of the earth, establishing his kingdom, has to do with Father Abraham and the descendant of Father Abraham. While you are sharing this with us, we are Chinese, we are Singaporeans, we have nothing to do with this region. Oh boy, you have to do with it. Because this is the kingdom of God. This is about God's kingdom, not about a certain nation called Israel. You know, God could have chosen any land. By the way, the land of Israel is not the most beautiful land. Switzerland is more beautiful. Lebanon actually is more beautiful. There is no desert in Lebanon. It's so green, it's so beautiful, full of mountains and snow and cedars. It's a beautiful land. But God has a plan. And the plan even touches you in Singapore. You remember when God came down and he confused the languages of the human race when they were building the Tower of Babel? And he scattered people. He divided them into people groups. And one of these groups were the Chinese. God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, he did not scatter them randomly. He scattered them according to the numbers of the tribes of Israel, which means God had a plan. Then it tells us in the book of Acts that God predestined the geographical location for every nation. Not only he predestined that, he predestined even the generation and the time we are born. Why? So they might know him, yet he is not far away from them. My friends, it wasn't by chance you are in this beautiful land, Singapore. It's not by chance you are born into this generation. It's not by chance you are coming this morning to this church to hear this sermon. God is going to reveal something to you. God has a purpose. God has everything under his control. And all God's purposes has to do with his kingdom, because that is the main purpose of our existence. So now, you are listening to this. God ordained that you come and you listen to this. If you were me, when the Lord revealed this to me, the first thing I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know, he told me, I want you to start bringing Egypt, Assyria, Israel as the first fruit of this highway. And I started then in 1998, from that time, bringing people together, teaching them about the position of Israel, bringing reconciliation. I've seen tears of Arabs and Jews more than anybody else. I've seen them hugging each other, washing each other's feet. I see them always finishing every meeting with communion, standing together for God's purposes. But you see, the enemy still not finished 100%. The enemy still working and trying to keep them apart, because he knows when the full restoration of Ishmael and Isaac, of Jacob and Esau together, and they start worshiping Yahweh together, the whole earth will be blessed. So if you are interested in seeing the kingdom of God come into this earth in its fullness, you have to pay attention to God's strategy for that. You have to pray, what is my role? And you know, Chinese, even your fathers, spiritual forefathers, they felt their role is back to Jerusalem. And they thought is just to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. But you know, back to Jerusalem means you have to come to the Ishmaelite first. You have to come to Esau and his descendant first. Because the people who are going to provoke Israel into jealousy, they are the Arabs, not but anybody else. And the Bible tells us if their rejection has become a blessing to all of us Gentiles, how much more their acceptance will be life out of death. So there you have a redemptive purpose. God, for a purpose, he kept the Chinese world not having bad history with the Arabs. God was planning that even without you knowing. God kept that there is a special favor for the Chinese people wherever they go in Assyria and in Egypt. Because God had a redemptive purpose that the Chinese can be the middleman to bring these brothers and sisters together to be united at the table of God the Father. How can we bring healing to the heart of Ishmael? You know, a teenager. That's why it was prophesied, Ishmael, a wild donkey. That's why he is so violent and his descendants. Because rejection, when you harbor rejection, it births anger. When you harbor anger, it births bitterness. And bitterness, if you keep it, you don't deal with it, it expresses itself in violence. How do you diffuse it? Unconditional love. The love of the Messiah. That's the agape. Or as the Greek will say, the agape. That's it. If you want to diffuse it, unconditional love. Just imagine when we call upon Ishmael and say, you are our older brother. There is room for you around the Father's table. We welcome you back. We love you. We are sorry that you had to go through all these troubles. A heart that has been hungry for this love for hundreds and thousands of years, it will melt away. And who is going to provoke Israel back to Yahweh? When Ishmael will extend his hand in love and say to Isaac, Isaac, I love you, you are my brother, and I understand your redemptive purpose, you are the chosen one, and I praise God for you, my brother, and there is room for us around the Father's table. I will never forget the day when I was sharing at the Israeli Knesset. I was invited, I was preaching at Christian Government Leadership Conference in Jerusalem, and they took us to the Knesset for a tour, and the Knesset was in session, and they knew that I was the speaker, so they gave me the stand. And I stopped preaching the gospel. You see, maybe politically I'm not correct there, but I was biblically correct. Praise God. And you know, they didn't like me to preach the gospel. But the idea that an Arab is telling them, I love you, Israel, and he's embracing Israel, and he's repenting on behalf of his nation for hating Israel and trying to wipe out Israel off the map of the earth, that provoked them. And that make them run after the speech, and each one wants to hug me and kiss me in both cheeks. I said, boy, we are the ones to provoke them. And you are the ones to build this bridge. Do you know the bridge between Jordan and Israel after the peace treaty? Who built it? Chinese. And for me, it wasn't a company that won that contract. For me, that was a prophetic act done by the Chinese government without them knowing. And now when we go to the northern border, the official border between Israel and Jordan, we cross over that bridge. And guess who was supervising the building of that bridge? An Arab general in the army, a born-again general, a friend of mine. It wasn't just an accident. God knew what he was doing. And I'm sharing with you this time this, because there is a role for each one of you. Because when Egypt And Israel and Assyria worship together, the whole earth shall be blessed. You know, I teach for a whole week on this subject that I call it the spiritual dynamics of the Middle East and the whole world. But my time is over, and I would like us to stand up to pray, if you don't mind. Father, I thank you. You are not in the business of entertainment. You didn't bring me all the way from Jordan to entertain your people. When you reveal something to us, Father, that means you want us to do something about it. So I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, speak to each individual. Speak to the leadership of this church. Speak to the whole church of Singapore. I pray that you speak to the Chinese church in general. You show them their role in the highway. If in the physical they were the ones who built the bridge, I pray in the spiritual realm, they will be the bridge builders as well, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bless you, church, that you become blessing to many. And I bless the leadership of this church, that there will be multiplication of authority, spiritual authority, and anointing, and growth, that God will maximize the growth of this church, and maximize the influence of this church, that it will spread out throughout the whole Egypt, Assyria, Israel region, to touch the whole earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may God bless you and thank you.
Just sing a song.
Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Worship the Son of Man, the Son of God, His kingdom come.
Thank Pasafi for bringing this revelation for us. You know, we are in a season where we're trying to understand God's plan and purpose, and certainly not just for us as individuals, but for us as a people, as a nation. Father, we want to pray that, you know, with this word that's been given to us, Lord, our eyes may be opened beyond our own lives, Lord, to begin to recognize, God, that you have a purpose, you have a plan for us, you have a role for us in the history of how you bring redemption to this world, Lord. So, Father, we want to bless. We want to bless the Arab world, Lord, with all the pain, with all the turmoil that they're going through, Lord. We want to pray that your will prevail, Lord. That the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. So, Father, we want to pray a blessing over that highway in the Middle East, Lord. We want to bless, you know, nations of that Middle East, all the way from Egypt, all the way up to Iran. Father, we pray, God, that you will bring reconciliation among this Abrahamic descendants, and you bring blessing to the whole world. Lord, now even as we come to the end of service, as we go from this place, may your Holy Spirit direct each one of us, speak to us, what are the practical things that we can do? How can we be a greater blessing? How can we be bridge builders, Lord? How can we be sons of God who make peace? So Lord, now as we go, may the blessing of God Almighty, God who has a plan for all history, blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and always. Amen, amen. Service is over. We thank Pastor Afif for his word. I'll see you all back next Friday, okay? Good Friday.